13 together, starting with verse 11. For he that abideth in God's speech is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust with some of you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Let's read 10, verses 11, go back to 10. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive them not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. All right, so in verse 11, he talks about he that biddeth in Godspeed. What is he talking about in verse 10, going back to verse 10? Who's the him? He that biddeth him. Yes, Barbara.
The any that brings not this doctrine, receive him not.
Okay, and what did we say that doctrine was in verse 10? Well, it was a big word for it. What do you call it? What's the doctrine that is the doctrine of Christ? All the things that were born. Was it?
Christology.
Christology, that's right. There's about 10 divisions of theology. And that's the one, there's angelology, it's pneumatology, all these others, about 10 of them. But this is the Christology, the doctrine concerning Christ. And how many doctrines of Christ did we list last week, remember? Question?
About
12. About 12, that's right, about 12 different doctrines. Deity, his father, his back, all these different things, miracles. And so, the people that come every so often knock on your door, the Jehovah's Witnesses, do they bring these doctrines of Christ? All 12 doctrines of Christ? No.
No.
Don't believe his deity, his body, resurrection, all kinds of things. So if they knock on your door, and according to this verse, should you invite them to come in?
No.
No. And should you say, no, I'm sorry, thank you. We've got scripture on this, and we don't believe this proper. And then also, should we, when they leave, should we say, God bless you, give them God's speed?
No.
If we do say God's speed, God bless you, what is your will?
Then we would be partaking in their evil deeds.
That's interesting, see? In other words, there's a compromise. There's what do you call when somebody drives the car to a murder and...
He's
an accessory, that's right. An accomplice or accessory.
Accomplice
or accessory, that's right. And so we would be an accessory for Jehovah's Witness paganism if we bid them Godspeed, God bless you. So people come to this door, they don't come anymore, but I just say, no, that's it. You know, it's
well, it. I think it's essential, so more so with the church. I mean, today's churches, anyone and everyone comes, and you know they think it's wonderful. You know, we get all these seekers coming into these churches, and you know it's like Jehovah's Witness. And then they're not saying anything in the service, but they are influencing people by communicating with other people.
Yes.
So they could still be causing a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it seems like this. I mean, the church is the body of believers. So if they're not, if they don't have the correct understanding of the scriptures, then they're not. How can they have a, doctrine of Christ?
Mm-hmm. Tammy's exactly right on that. But we must also include Catholics, Moonies, and that other cult that's out there, Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who claims to have some kind of affiliation with the Bible, but are not true believers.
Mm-hmm. And it come unto you and you be asked, now, don't invite them into your house. It could be the church house. So, especially now, do we want to welcome those that are lost and bound for hell to come if they want to receive salvation?
Yes.
Yes, we invite them. But if they begin to teach and influence our people, that's where you have to draw the line. But we had a young man here who was here for many years, and one time he's no longer here. You know who he is. And he brought a Mormon. Was there a Mormon one time he brought?
Yes.
Yeah, he brought a Mormon. He didn't try to influence her adversely, but the, see...
Well, the Mormon was trying to influence him adversely.
That's right. He influenced him, and so it's a bad thing. And as I said before, I think last week, there's only one or two that I said, please don't come back to our Bible study or church. When was the Bible study we had before we had our church? Every Thursday night or something. I think it was Thursday night. And... He was very, very bad. He's from England. Came over here to visit, and he's trying to influence on amillennialism.
Yeah.
And he has this fellow, he had two of them coming. I finally said, "Brethren, please don't come back. We don't believe what you believe. That's heresy as far as we're concerned. Don't ever come back to a Bible class, for a Bible class." And the other one was in this particular church that we have right here. You all know that. He was all right for about 19 years. He came every Sunday morning and Bible study as far as the afternoon classes on Sunday. Occasionally on a prayer meeting, and he didn't believe much, but all of a sudden, when we laid down some scriptural principles, he got all irate and bitter and said, "No, that's not." He tried to influence the other people in the church. And so he said, "Finally, don't come back. You can't keep me away," he said. So, not unknown to him, in the meantime, I called the police from college. I said, "Here's a man that's coming. We don't have him anymore. He's disrupting our ministry, our church."
In our house,
that's right. And they said, "Fine." I said, "Our church starts at 10 o'clock. And so, okay, we'll be there. Two men, policemen, 10 o'clock. Outside, came in at 10 o'clock. He was early. Sat right in that seat right there, right where you right there. And they came and said, "We'll talk to you." And Christopher came and led him out into the other room. And he argued with him, "You can't kick me out. There's nobody going to kick me out of church." And he said, "This is his home, and they can kick you out." And so he argued with him probably 5 or 10 minutes. I don't know how long it was. And then he left. And then later, after they took him out, the policeman came back in there. And he told me this. I told you this before, just repeating myself. But he said, we told this man, if he comes back into this church, or house, whatever, we'll lock him up." And I'm sure they told that to him. He was a lawyer, so you know all about not trying to get it through the back door, but he's never come back since. So he was an adverse influence in our ministry. He argued, fight, was a terrible, terrible thing. I don't know how I put up with him for 19 years. I was just trying to be as kind as I could be, but when this came right out, and just terrible, that was the end. And Bill,
In your defense, you asked that man clearly several times, "According to the Bible, should we obey God or man?" According to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So he as a lawyer, should have understood that language plainly enough, and yet he disobeyed your question.
That's right. What did he say? What does he want to
say? He said, "Obey the government."
Yes, regardless. The government
has authority.
That's right.
And he completely overlooked the whole idea of according to the Bible.
Yes.
That was the key thing. He should have focused on that.
That's good.
Must have been a lousy lawyer.
Thank you. You remember, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So this is verse 11. He did put them past. In other words, he tried to come to your house, either your church or whatever, and apparently disrupting, doesn't have the doctrine of Christ. We've got to be very careful. Don't bid him Godspeed. If we bid him Godspeed, we're a partaker, an accomplice in all of his evil deeds, of his actions, his beliefs as well. Then verse 12, what did John tell people as far as writing at this point? What did John say in verse 12 about writing? Yes, Barbara?
He has a lot of things to write for them.
Yeah. Do you think he wanted to write? Did he want to write them at that time?
Mm-mm.
What does he say? Yes, Barbara?
He's not going to write. He wants to come to see them personally, face to face.
Face to face. What is the purpose of this coming in that verse? What's the purpose, the last part of this verse? Yes, Barbara?
Joanne.
That his joy might be full. Yeah, that your joy might be full. That our joy might be full. John's joy. In other words, you have 10.
It seems like there's going to be a mutual encouragement there, and that's why their joy is going to be full.
Yes. And Paul, he'd be happy at all. See, they want to see him, and his joy would be full if he did see him. So it's very important that sometimes we just don't come face to face, and sometimes we do. See, as I say, people that are on our internet listening to us, and we're glad for them. We can't come face to face with them. We wish we could, but we don't have the funds, the time, the energy, and everything else. But at least we can go by the internet. And Paul, or rather John, wanted to be face to face, that his joy might be full. He enjoyed these people. These were very godly people. He's right. Then in verse 13. What does he say about his elect sister? What did he say in the first part of this letter She says yes, Carla.
They have children. The children of the elect sister. Mm-hmm. The elect sister would be sister to the lady that he's writing to. So if they're both the churches, then it's the children, the people in that church.
People in that church. And they greet thee. See, they greet thee, his elect sister, the children. So Apostle John wrote this very brief letter to these people that were there. Any other comments on Second John before we move on to Third John? Well, now let's begin. Third John, let's read that verses 1, 2, and 3 together. The elder of the well-beloved days, whom I love in the truth, the lover that wishes above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as my soul will prosper. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Oh, I really think the elder would be up to the front.
I have up for the past verse.
Okay.
The children of thy elect sister greet thee, verse 13 of chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, up there, the elect lady, you think the elect lady and the elect sister were the same? If they were the people, they were the same people.
Elect lady, elect sister? Could be the same one.
The children of...
See,
I mean that the elect sister and the elect lady had children that were with Paul.
With John, you mean?
With John.
Yeah. Yes, the first verse it says the elect lady and her children, and also the other elect sister, and the children of the elect sister.
So he's writing this letter on behalf of himself and the elect children, the children of the elect lady.
Possibly. And if this
I think it's sort of interesting.
Yes, if this is the local church that he's writing to, and these other the children, these are believers, saved Christians that are in that ministry, he's probably writing to those that group. Any other comments on Second John before we move on to Third John? Well, let's move on. Yeah, Bob?
Okay.
Let's read 3 John verses 1. We already read it, didn't we? Okay, no. Go on to verse number 1. What do you think this elder is? Yes, Tanner?
John. The Apostle John.
The Apostle John, the elder. Now, what are the three terms for pastor of a local church in Scripture? Yes,
Tanner? Pastor, bishop, elder.
Pastor, bishop, elder. He's a pastor. He feeds the flock. That's a bishop, he's in charge of the overall positions and details, and elder, he's supposed to be mature in the things of the Lord, act to teach, have I?
Why would he speak of himself in the third person like that? When we're in verse 13, he said, but I will not forsake him. In different times, he says, I trust, I shall start with. And up here, he says, the elder unto the well, he means himself, I guess. The elder.
Yes, sometimes that's what we
mean.
Is that right? You see.
Why wouldn't he say, whom he loves in the truth?
Yeah. Well,
he's trying to figure out why he's speaking in the first
person all the time. Well, any comments on that to clear up that situation?
Above all things, for he raised to be joyous. Why does he speak of himself? I am third person with the
left. What? Can you answer that?
He was humble.
Tammy? Someone just talked about the elder and the Apostle John under the well-beloved Gaius. He's just a man that he's writing to and whom I love in the truth. Yes.
He also describes himself in the one, the Apostle whom Jesus loved.
Yes, the Apostle whom Jesus loved.
He is identifying himself as me.
That's right.
He was very humble.
Now he says, whom I love in the truth. Where is the truth to be found? Bill.
In the Scripture.
In the Scripture. What does John 14:6 say? Let's say it.
I am the way, it's the truth, and the life.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Do people in this world use other things for truth?
Yes.
Is their truth always the same as the Bible truth?
No.
What do the evolutionists say is their truth? Yeah, Bob.
The evolutionists say that there's no God. They don't believe.
All right, Tammy.
Darwin's evolution or origin of the species by means of natural selection and whatever the rest of it is.
All right, and Joanne.
That we came from apes. That God didn't create Adam and Eve. That we evolved into apes, and yet I don't see any evolution taking place. That man is turning into something else.
Yeah. So they deny God's creation by his own power. Mm-hmm. Universe, stars, planets, earth, trees, people, insects, animals, birds, everything. They deny that, don't they?
Yeah.
And so their truth does not coincide with the Bible truth. What does the Bible truth say? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Everything that's in the heaven, everything is on earth. He's the creator. And so they differ. Now, do all people in this world know the truth? No. And if they, the truth is found, the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth for salvation. The Bible is the truth, the facts, the thing that God wants us to know. Now, is every single truth found in the Bible?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes? No. Okay, we got divided house. Action. Is every truth found in the Bible? Yes, Tanner?
No.
In what way?
Well, there's a lot of scientific things.
All right.
The historical things that aren't written in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that God wanted us to know is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as about Him,
yes,
it's in the Bible.
Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Well, at the end of the Gospel of John, he says there are many other works Jesus did,
mm-hmm.
which are, you know, this is paraphrasing. Right, were written down in the world itself, and that contained the volumes which he had done.
Mm-hmm.
So
in John chapter 21, let's see, find that verse, let's read that, let's see, find it. Chapter 21 of John. I believe it's 21.
It's
20.
21:25. No, wait a minute. What did you say,
buddy?
21:25.
Wait, 21:30, is that right?
25.
25?
There's no 30. 25
is it. No, go to 20. Go 20, see, I got the wrong chapter.
Yeah, it's
20.
It's 21:25. Yeah.
All right, 21:25.
The other is another verse, remember.
Many other things you read, fill the book. But also,
there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself should not contain the books that should be written. Amen.
Well, that's the one, that's right.
That's the very last verse in John.
Last verse in John, that's it. Many other things. And really, 20 verse 30, there are so many other signs, really, Jesus is the present, the disciple, not written in this book. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, believing you might have life through them. So, many other miracles and many other things. Fulfill the world. That's good, Dr. Nan. That's exactly right. He's thinking about that to fulfill the whole world. But what is in the scripture is the truth that God wants to have. So go. Yes, go.
I was born at a particularly good time because when I was a little kid, I was wondering about God, wondering about the truth of Him and everything. And the churches were pretty busy in those days. I grew up in Camden, and all of the churches were full. Hundreds of people going into each church.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you looked, and even on television, they said, well, if you want to learn about the truth, read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Every place refers to going to the Bible for mm-hmm. understanding. Today's culture is just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is man-centered. On Channel 12, on television, which used to be an educational kind of channel. They have this Dr. Amen and his wife on there like 8-9 hours at a time on that television channel almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
And other people, they talk about meditating in accordance with modern psychology, not even Eastern religion. And people are taught in schools not to go to the Bible. They're taught about evolution.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big battle that's going on out there, and mm-hmm. unfortunately, many people just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that we have the truth in our hands,
mm-hmm.
and we can turn to that, but they don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's over 60 years ago. It was pretty good, but now it's pretty changed. And what does it say in the Gospel of John? Ye shall know
the truth
and the truth shall make you free. Know the Lord Jesus Christ and all the truth of the Word of God. It's very important. And as it says in 2 John, verse 7, many deceivers are added into the world. That's what Bill was talking about, all these deceivers. Is it Gary, or is it Jacob and me, or is it Rob? Hey, Jacob. Hello, from Texas.
So, Jacob.
Hi, Jacob.
Hello, thank you. Hello, thank
you. Hi. I know this before you answer.
Well, I mean, that Dr. Amen you're talking about, he's a
had written down the Daniel plan, you know, allegedly for losing weight. That's the cultic teacher there, Dr. Allman.
Yes. Yeah.
And Dr. Hyman. He could have picked real doctors, but he had to pick the cultic ones because we know what Greek one is all about. That.
Right.
Yeah. Not great deal. But anyway, I want to mention that, not everything is in the Bible, but I think the principles for everything are in there, whether you found them yet or not,
Yeah.
So I mentioned that. So we have enough. It's more than enough. Sufficient. Yeah, more than sufficient.
That's right. Well, thanks, Seamus. Way to take us from Texas.
And Dale?
That's right. Okay, thank you. Phil?
Yeah, what he said is right. Everything is in the Bible, at least in its principle. And just like what Tammy was saying, too, if you want certain details, then you can go to other textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
But everything.
Yes.
The history of the world, biology, medicine, everything. It's all in here.
And marriage is there. Chapter 1 of Genesis. Who did God create?
Adam.
And from Adam?
Eve.
So that's marriage. Today, men, women, it's all he's a she's and she's a he's. And the whole thing.
And the Bible, even though everything, the term, the principles and everything are there, and what God wants us to know is in the Bible, it's also the answer. It's also that the Bible is the answer. Is the I don't know what I'm going to say. The Bible is the answer to life. You know, the life's problems.
I saw on the television, not television, the internet yesterday, picture of a man, looks like a man, pregnant. And so the situation now is you can no longer refer to a pregnant woman. It has to be a pregnant person, because these people pretend to be men, even though they're women. See? Pregnant. Horrible, crazy stuff, isn't it? All right. The women want to be men want to be women. Terrible situation, isn't it?
Sick.
Yes. Any other comments on these particular things? The truth. All right, so love whom I love in the truth must be a Christian love, not the sexual, sensual love at all. And then in verse number 2, what does this word beloved mean? Any hands on that? What does this word beloved mean? Barbara?
One who is well loved.
Pardon me?
One who is well loved.
One who is well loved. And who do you think the reference would be here? He's writing to beloved. Who do you think that would be? Yes, sir.
A church?
Probably.
Or a person? To God?
5 to 10?
Well, verse 2 is talking about
Gaius. All right. Our beloved, yes. But especially the beloved could be Gaius himself, that's true. But who is called many times and referred to many times as beloved?
Christians.
Genuine Christians are called the beloved ones. To whom God loves, they love but God, love the Lord Jesus, God loves them. Now, what does the wish, Barbara?
Upon further reflection, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou. Singular,
that's right.
So it would
be back to Gaius, that's right. In this case, we love it, although in other references, many believers, gender Christians are called beloved. What is the wish for Gaius? Yes, Barbara?
That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers.
So, what if this were the wish for every genuine Christian in the world? Would this be a good wish for some or a very, very bad wish for others? And why? Would this be a good wish or a bad wish for some, but not all? Tammy.
Well, if they love the scripture and you're walking with the Lord, then it should be a very good wish.
And if they don't?
I mean, you don't assume that of people.
All right, but I'm saying factually they don't.
Well, I know, but if somebody took it that way, then it wasn't what was meant. You're not assuming that of somebody.
Right. I'm saying, I'm not assuming anything, but if in fact...
No, I'm saying one. I'm not referring to you particularly.
That's what I'm
saying. One would...
We must then have a prosperous health and prosperous... No matter if their souls prosper or not, we want their soul to prosper.
Well, that's what does this verse say? What's asthma?
Life.
as or like us. In other words, if you read this, above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, as thy soul prospers. Okay?
Well, in this case, it appears that the Apostle John knows that Gaius' soul is prospering. Mm-hmm. So to say that it was a curse is ridiculous.
Well, not just as a curse.
No, but yes. If people take it that way, then perhaps they're taking it wrongly because it's not necessarily right. Meant that way.
Yeah, but I'm not talking what is meant by Gaius. I'm saying if you say to someone, anyone, I wish you prosper, even as you the same degree as your soul prospers. Would that be a good wish for all? Or sometimes a bad wish for some.
Well, so then if their health starts going down and their what else goes down? Then they need to fix their soul. If they're starting getting sick, they gotta stop thinking about themselves and get their soul in shape.
If somebody's health is obviously not well, and perhaps they're struggling financially or in other ways, and you are assuming that their soul is prospering, then it is meant as a blessing.
Well, this is meant as a blessing, sure.
No, I'm saying how it would be written if somebody shared it with them.
Yeah, Barbara?
No, I mean, it's, what would I miss?
Barbara?
that you may prosper, okay, and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I'm reading that as, may you have physical blessings and health blessings as you are, well, spiritually blessed, so to say. That it's kind of like it's an all equal, yes. and I'm trying...
That's right. That's the wish of Pastor John for Gaius, absolutely. And as Tammy said before, she knew that Gaius' soul was prospering.
Right.
So he says, just like your soul is prospering, I hope that also you may be in health the same way as your soul is prospering. See, that's true. But, yes.
Isn't it the reverse? I mean, I'm reading that may you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers.
That's true.
But that the prosperity and health come before the soul?
Well, all right, but the same as also, I mean, in the same degree as. That's what it means. In the same degree. Equal. Yes. Yeah, Vaughn and then Barbara.
Well, does this mean that if a person is not healthy, that their soul's not healthy? Some of the most healthy souls, people that, you know, you meet, they're on their deathbed and they seem spiritually healthy.
The wish is that they may be in health. Let's hear what our people out there listening say about this. Questions at bftbc.org. Or 856-261-9018. What do you think about this? In people today, if you don't know the people, you don't know the people. They may be lost sinners bound for hell. That's your name.
There's a messenger. Hello. Sending warm greetings to you and all our BFT church family there in Collinswood that is watching by internet. Thank you very much for this morning's service and for this afternoon's Bible study. It's a blessing to our hearts. God bless and his love, Carl and Vicki.
Let's wait for Carl and Vicki. I'll be waiting in the state of Maine. We're up in the state of Maine. So, yes, go ahead, Joy.
All right. Well, I would take it as there are people that are in bad health, that are poor, and yet they still praise the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that's how their soul is prospering. I mean, they could be in bad health, they could be poor, they could be living in the worst living conditions, and yet they praise the Lord.
Right.
So their soul is prospering.
It seems that way.
Yeah, that's the...
But,
it's a wish. It's the
wish. But this wish is fine. What I'm saying is, if we wish someone that's bound for heaven, lost sinner, never trusted Christ, and we wish that his soul, would prosper the same way that his body prospers. You see, yes, you can't tie them together necessarily. Go ahead.
That's what I mean.
Well, if you said this to someone that was lost and you didn't know they were lost,
mm-hmm.
and you thought that they were saved, then, I mean, it's not a curse to them. I mean, it may,
didn't say it was a curse. I'd say, is it true we wish that? Pastor Dan, go ahead. Tammy, finish up.
I said this once to someone, and then the following Sunday or a couple of Sundays later, and then I heard about it from the pulpit.
Really?
Yes, really.
Here?
Who was
it? Yes, here.
Who was it? Somebody?
Oh, I'm not going to say who I was writing to.
Pastor Dan, right?
No, well, I did write to Pastor Dan.
Well, we're going to take this thing, like you were saying, the lost person. Well, we would call this one, if we knew the person was lost, we would call him beloved.
That's exactly right.
We want to address lost persons as beloved.
That's right.
First
well,
of all.
What if you love them?
No, let's
beloved, no, it's in the context of what we mean by beloved.
That's right.
Versus, so we would call someone's lost, found in the house, a horrible soul.
That's right.
He's a God hater. We would call them beloved.
Let's change the prescription. Only Christians. That's a very good point. Only Christians. Wait, divine and ten.
Well, yes, I was going to talk about the other in the lobby of yes. So he is beloved. He tells us he's beloved before he calls him, writes the next verse. So we know to John, we are thinking yes is beloved and the truth.
All right, let me just ask this. Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
Well, since my husband brought up the word beloved,
mm-hmm.
we know that their soul has prospered to some degree
yes.
if they're saved.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is not feeling quite where they want to be spiritually, does that mean that their soul is not prospering? It's not prospering?
Well, it's prosper not, but
you
let me just...
Have wishes.
Well, I realize, but look, if you want somebody to be in good health, physical health, top of the line, well, 100%, and you say to that person, it's a Christian person, a man or woman, I want you to be in real, just to the same type of health your body is in as your soul is in. And they don't read the Bible, they don't read anything, they're a carnal Christian. Should we, is that, we want to wish that?
Well, perhaps
they'd be sick. If their soul is the same as their body health, they'd be sick. Sick as a dog, see?
Well, maybe they are already sick. That's why we're wishing them that way. We want them to get better, and so give them this wish. So now maybe they'll think about it and say, wait a minute, you know, my soul needs some attention, so maybe they'll know why I'm sick. I'll work and get my soul healthier.
All right, let's have another. Let's have another suggestion. Here's physical health. There's spiritual prosperity and health. Are they always the same?
No.
No. Why? Tell me why. Give me some examples. Yeah.
Well, you could be physically, you could be ravaged with a certain disease. You know, your body, your physical health mm-hmm. may not be the same, but yet you're spiritually, you're alive because you have the Lord as Savior, the Lord as Savior.
Yes.
And you prosper. You may prosper spiritually, but yet physically, you're
yeah,
your body
that's right. That's good. See, they don't have to be the same. They don't have to be equal.
No.
One is bad, one is good. See.
No, but this wasn't a bad wish.
No, not for God. It's wrong.
Because we believe
you
have prosperous health.
That's true.
Soul.
But I'm saying.
But you have a bad soul.
Can we wish the people today, Christian people, everyone knows they're Christians, that their health can be the same degree as their spiritual condition. Now, we'd like to have it that way, I'm sure, but if they're spiritually, not even interested in the things of the Lord, carnal, fleshly, wicked, if we say, I want your health to be just like your soul, carnal, wicked, that means you're wishing their health to have a bad health, because you've got a bad soul, see? That's not good.
Well, in this particular instance,
John
knew.
Yeah, I know
he knew the person. He said, we're not there yet. I understand that. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
He said, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in me.
Yeah.
So he knew there was truth in him.
We all agree.
And so we may know some people, if we know there's no truth in them, we should give them this wish. We should make a curse upon them.
So we wouldn't call them
beloved.
Yeah. But if we know that the truth is in them, then we can give them this wish. They won't be forced with your curse.
Not just the truth is in them, but the truth as the body. See, I agree with you. Gaius was fine, wonderful. Health was good. Spiritual health was good. Fine. I'm just talking about general people. Have
Barbara? You don't know that he was. I was just going to say, sitting here thinking about me, you know, if my soul is in the same shape as my physical, I'm in a bad way.
That's exactly right.
But if what I would really like is for my physical to come up to my spiritual.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
You see, here's as like, similar, saints, that's what he's saying. So anyway, in Gaius' case, we all agree 100% here today the dash, if you wish that on dash, because I wish that your health be just like your soul prospers. Because we know your soul is prospering, I hope your health is prospering as well. We all agree on that, no problem. And so we'll go on to the next subject. Yeah, fine.
Have you discussed who Gaius is?
Yes, we talked about it. He's a Christian. He's a blood. He's a Christian. He has to be a believer.
Do we read about him in the
Verse 1. Yeah.
And of any of these
No, 3 John 1.
I know, but do we read about him?
Gaius, I'm not sure. Let me see. There's probably verses on Gaius. I'm not really sure. Yeah, Paul.
Dr. Wade, could you, pardon me, and could you let me know, I know 2:30, you let me know my access when it comes and come around to you.
Okay, 2:30, maybe 2:30, okay. Bill and I have both blocks. If it's a big one we'll hear, hopefully he honks or something.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, someone have a hand up, I don't know. That was
Paul.
Okay, we're going. All right, so in verse number 3, what did the Apostle John, what was his attitude? Yes, Barbara?
He rejoiced greatly.
And why did he do that? That's right, brother.
Because the brethren came from somewhere and testified of the truth that was in Gaius.
Yes, excellent. He was a good man and knew the Word and loved the Word and stood for the truth of the Scriptures. What was true of him in the last part of verse 3? Excuse me, Bob.
I have written above walketh in the truth. Continuous walking, that's what it meant.
That's good. That's the answer to the last part of the question. Yes, Barbara.
It's not just enough to know the truth. We have to apply it to our lives. So right. It wasn't that he just knew it, but he was in conduct within it as well.
Walking. And how do we walk? Two things must be true in order to walk. Can everybody in this world walk?
No.
No, they can't. Some
can
are very crippled.
Walk?
Can everybody walk? People are crippled sometimes.
In this room?
No, in this world.
Oh, okay.
Some people are crippled, they cannot walk. And Yvonne, then, after that.
I've been meditating, contemplating me.
You did what?
I've been contemplating me, my life, sometimes early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my mother telling me that they decided to do this surgery on me because mm-hmm. I had tuberculosis of the bone. And whenever they got me up, the disease started, and I'd have a fever, and then they'd rest me. For 3 years, they did that, and finally a surgeon came up with a surgery that he was willing to try. It was sort of an experiment, and I remember she said, we decided to, Daddy and I decided to say yes to the surgery, and they couldn't give us any guarantee that I would walk, but if I didn't walk, I would be very, very crippled.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to try the surgery.
I'm glad it worked.
Yes, I am too.
Pastor Dan.
Well, here they're not talking about physical walking.
I realize.
He's talking about the spiritual walking, walking in the truth. And so, even though someone may not be able to walk well physically, they can still walk spiritually.
What does it mean to walk physically? What does it mean? Paul.
It means that, you know, get up, stand up, and actually walk and.
How does one walk?
The left foot out in front of the other, and the right foot.
Okay.
On the left.
Left right. Why don't you put both up together and jump? Is that a walk?
No.
One foot is on the other.
Walking also has the idea of progression in it. You're going to a destination.
Yes. Continuous action, progression. It's not that's a spiritual walk. We realize that, but when you use the word walk, really, this word walk in the Greek language means to progress. They use walk because it's used, people understand what walk is. It means that it progresses in the truth. Walks in the truth. Follows it. Very important. Is this Rob or Jacob?
Maybe it's someone else.
Jacob. Hi. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dan. I get that for real. I don't know if this is true, but I've been told that this walking thing is you put one foot in front of the other and repeat until finished.
That's true. That's good. Unless you want to sit down. That's good. Thank you. Jacob's waiting to Jacob from Texas and his mother, Dale. Right, thank you very much. All right, so that's good. Walking one step at a time. And when you quit walking, you either stop walking and sit down or lie down and sleep or whatever. Give up.
I do believe there's something physical in walking in the truth, too. I don't know.
In what way?
Well, you have to think. I have to think when I walk. If I don't think when I walk,
your trip.
I might have gone on.
In the house. Last week, yes. Yes, we have to know the scriptures and follow the scriptures and know what we're walking in truth, living in truth. That's what that we're walking into. It's a progressive thing. It's a continuous thing. And we're glad that he walks in the truth. Pastor Dan, then, pardon.
It's the mythically sung to Schaefer that said, every step is an incipient fall.
Yes.
Is that correct? Or?
That's right. That's what Greg Schaefer, his book, He is Spiritual. Every step, incipient means what?
That's right.
Incipient, what's that mean?
I don't know.
Potential. What's it?
Potential.
That's right. And very close, very near. Very close to falling. Incipient could happen at any time. Hey, Barbara?
This concept of continuously walking in the truth, as far as being conduct and continuously, it's in the truth as opposed to 26 other ways you could go. There's only one way to go, so it implies obedience.
Mm-hmm.
To this concept of the truth.
Right, obedience to the truth.
Right.
So we'll get that.
Each person has their own walk.
Yes.
And so when we look at others, we can't say, oh, well, that person's not walking in the truth because they're not, you know, that's they're right. not doing this because the Lord may not be convicting them of that particular thing. So when I wrote that card with that verse on it, I wasn't planning on cursing anyone.
No, walking in truth.
It's between curse somebody.
Yes, Joy, right ahead, Joy. Welcome.
Oh, Joy, hello.
We missed your hymn this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just, I was thinking of the Old Testament of the story of Job.
Yes.
And the same history friend did not comfort him.
That's
the way John is comforting Jay, because he knows Job, he didn't walk in the truth. Even though he was afflicted with all those foils and
his attack was very poor, but he was a man who walked in the truth. Yes. But his three friends, they did not comfort him at all, but his coach and John is comforting Jay.
Yes.
Amen. Let's wave to Joy
Wonham. That is
fourth.
What was she saying?
Pastor Dan, go ahead.
She says the matter is
for what did she say? You go ahead, tell her.
She was saying that it's too bad that Job's three friends did not encourage Job as John is encouraging Gaius.
Well, that's nice. I didn't hear that. I heard about the three friends. That's nice.
Okay. All right. So walking in the truth, very important. And the truth of the Word of God, scripturally, and we typically have different interpretations of the scripture, I realize, but talking the truth as they see it and hope it is correct and proper truth. Friends, the truth and the inspiration of scripture. God's breathing out. That's the truth that Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, those languages, God spoke in those words, in those Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And then they were translated accurately in the King James Bible, the proper Hebrew, the proper Aramaic, the proper Greek. And we have the English right here. And so we have the accuracy, and we got to know the proper truth. Some people think they got the truth, and they use these modern versions that have the New Testament Greek in 8,000 different ways than the New Testament Greek has in our Bible, because they use the Gnostic critical Greek text. And so 356 of those are doctrinal passages that are just plain false doctrine. So anyone that has one of these false Bibles, and they're good in the New Testament, when they read along, there's going to be places in those Bibles that are pitfalls and traps and terrible calamities. And you'll see if they follow those 356 passages in these new Bibles, they're not walking after the truth. The truth is what God has given to us in the proper Hebrew, proper Greek, proper Aramaic. So walking in the truth. Some people walk fast, some people walk slow. And as Pastor Dan reminds us, Dr. Louis Ben Schaefer, the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary, my teacher for 4 years, he says, every step is an incipient fall. Every step, you could fall after every step. We've got to be very cautious when we walk in the truth in the scriptures. Not be cocky, because we could fall too, as we said in another scripture, beware, let's say it together, that him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Got to be very careful standing, and certainly, if it's true standing, it's more true than ever in walking. You're standing, you don't usually fall over, but sometimes you do. But when we're walking, That's even more dangerous. It's almost been walking. Here's another one. Okay, sure. Anybody got a guess?
Jacob, write it up.
Number three, go ahead,
Jake. Look, Pastor Wayne, I was thinking about Psalm 119. I was sure I could find it here. I just got your verses. Psalm 119:45. I will walk in liberty, for I seek thy precepts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, in spirit and truth. And Psalm 119:105. And I was thinking about what preacher said a couple weeks ago. He was talking about sight, insight, and light. And for that, there's another verse, Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Yes.
Like I said, it's very true that a saved person with the Holy Ghost and a Bible, and that's, I think that's the simplest way for this walk.
All right, that's very good.
Okay, y'all have a good day.
All right, thanks. Let's wave again. So Jacob, thank you very much. Jacob and Dale, appreciate that. All the way from Texas, the Lone Star State. All right, so as you're walking through, let's read verses 4, 5, and 6 together. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfulness whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Why verse 4? What greater joy does he have? Yes, pardon me.
Than to hear that my children walk in truth.
To hear they walk in the truth. Again, the Word of God, that's an important thing. And his children would be referred to who? Do you think? And he has on his children. If that's his name?
Spiritual children.
Probably spiritual children. He led to the Lord, probably. Barbara?
I was just going to say children in the church. I filled out a book for my son. It talks about your family ancestry and little things he did as a baby and everything like that. And your wishes for him as a mother, what do you want for your son?
Mm-hmm.
And my son is not saved and he's obviously been not walking with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But what was your wish? What is your wish for your son? And that's the verse I wrote, that my children walk in the truth.
My children walk in the truth. That's a very good wish. Praise the Lord. So he's no greater joy. It's wonderful. Those that are probably led to the Lord by Pastor John, my children walk in truth. And I say, these people today, it's very important. People say this, all the Bible is the same, no difference. New American Standard, New International Version, you know, Revised Version, English Standard Version, all these are all the same. No, they're not the same. They're the same in one sense. Every one of them. Except the New King James Version. Every one of these others, every single one, lockstep, verse by verse by verse, Gnostic, critical Greek text. It's just a swallow that whole. And there's difference between truth and falsehood. As I say, 8,000 differences in the New Testament alone. Some are so small you don't even know the difference, but 356 doctrinal passages. And they have Bibles that are not completely true. There's some verses that are true, but many of them are false. So if you take the whole Bible and start reading it, you can fall into pitfalls. And some of those things, the thing about it is some of those truths are not noticeable because they're omissions. Now, if it's on top of it, you change it, you can see it very clearly. But they omit this verse, omit this verse, omit, for instance, in Philippians 4:13. Let's say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. No additions. Now she's just omitted Christ. And all things to the one that strengthened me. They just omit. See? But sometimes they do change. But a lot of times they just omit. And so it's hard to see. And then that's in verse number, what was it, 5?
Four.
So in verse 5, who's he addressing here?
Love.
Who would that be?
Yeah.
Probably James. Yeah, or if we apply this, probably all Christians believe. Rob, finally, glad to hear from you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to disappoint anyone. We were studying Jacob wrote that, in Psalm, in his commentary on Ephesians, and I'll read that if you all, but it's just a short paragraph here. He said, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might calls for an unceasing dependence upon God, in which dependence all confidence in self is abandoned. The conflict is not a crisis experience where the deliverance is won in a moment of time forever. It is rather to walk by means of the Spirit, Galatians 5:16-18, and there could be no more expressive term employed than to walk in this unceasing conflict, to walk by the means of the Spirit. As every breath exhaled is an incipient death, so every step is an incipient fall. The very act of taking a step is rather abandoning one's prayers with a confidence that it will be regained by the new step to be taken. Should the expected step fail for tribute, that incipient fall becomes a natural fall. In what manner the child of God must learn to repose his confidence in the divine power, not once for all, but moment by moment and unceasingly to the end of his earthly journey. And that was in 1935,
you remember that. Excellent. Well, thanks for quoting it. I've forgotten that. I appreciate that.
Schaefer's Ephesians.
Schaefer's Ephesians. That
was his commentary on Ephesians. And it was first published in Revelation Magazine. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember.
What page is
it? But also he repeats the Scipio Paul believed in his, either the spiritual as well. But he repeats it. That's what his position is. That's very good. Thank you very much.
What page in that book?
I think it was also in this theology.
Yes.
So,
that's good theology.
I remember that also.
What page in the book of John, my wife asked, what page? You got the page?
Ephesians. No, it's just online here.
Online, okay.
It's the end of it. I tell it on Ephesians.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Let's wave to Rob and struggle. Finally, we heard from Rob. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
No, that's interesting. As lack of breath is incipient death. Lack of next step is it before. And then, you know, you stop breathing, you die. I mean, that's very good. I didn't realize it was also linked to the breath, incipient death. All right, let's see. We're down in verse what?
Five.
Five.
It's 2:30.
Oh, well, that's true.
The bus isn't coming. I mean, we're talking about the bus.
Oh, the bus. Oh, thank you. The bus. Okay.
It's for the bus.
It hasn't come yet. Sometimes
it's in the window. They come at 2:30 to 2:33 or something.
2:33. Yeah. So Bill's got it. He got up and it's not here yet, Paul. So we're all set. Thank you for reminding us, Ryan. Then in verse 5, again, speak to believers, the gas or country by adaptation or application probably all genuine Christians. What thou doest, that thou doest. How does he want him to conduct his life? In verse 5, Barbara?
He does faithfully.
Faithfully. Faithfully means what? Any comments or hands on that? What does faithfully mean? Yes, Paul?
It means to do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord, but also to be immovable and steadfast.
Immovable and steadfast, yes. Do it faithfully. Steadfast and unmovable. Unmoving. And in other words, do what the Bible says. Do it not just once faithfully, but continuously. Continual faithfulness is very important. To do it faithfully. Now, how many things does he want Gaius or the beloved one to do faithfully? How many things are involved? The Bible?
Whatsoever.
Whatsoever thou doest. Unto whom does he want to have this done? The Bible?
Brethren and strangers.
The brethren, which means what?
The fellow Christians.
Fellow groups, inner Christians, and to strangers. What do strangers mean?
Those who don't believe.
Those that are not Christians, not genuine Christians at all, the strangers. Now, what happens when someone who knows the Lord is a saved, genuine Christian, walks pleasing the Lord faithfully in all that he does? What effect should that or does that have upon unbelieving, lost people? What effect?
Yes, pardon.
They noticed it. So, of course, if you do something that's not pleasing to the Lord, they're going to notice that too.
Yes. People take a look. They may not like what you do in your walk, but even if you don't talk, there's a manner that believers can have. Just the way they look, just the way they act, without even mentioning words, see? Remember what Paul says every genuine Christian is. Ye are my epistles, known and read of all men. Remember that? My epistles, like a letter. Christian believers, which are epistles, they're known of all men and they're read. They read us like a book. If our lives don't stand up or stack up, they're not with us. But of course, if they disagree with us and don't believe that Christ is the Savior, so that's it. Okay, we'll say goodbye to the two that came from a long distance on a bus.
Yes, sir.
Paul and it's a car. It's a car. Every time he comes, just don't talk. We'll hear him.
I will.
That's good. That's right. Thank you for
talking. I'll turn it well.
Very good.
Have a blessed week.
Yes, well, thank you very much for calling in.
Take care. Take care.
Thank you, Mr. Shepherd.
Bye-bye.
All right, so verse 5. Does faithfully whatever he does to the brethren, believers and unbelievers as well. Then in verse 6. We've read 6, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what's the which refer back to, do you think? It's a little bit difficult to understand. Why do you think the which refers to? Yes, Tammy, and then Barbara.
The brethren and the strangers.
All right, brethren and strangers, probably. And what is true of the people? What are these beloved, these strangers and brethren, what are they seeing? What do they say is true of them?
They witness his love.
The born witness. Their love and charity before whom? The church. But now, how would we define the church, which is his body? The church. I realize sometimes it's a local church, but generally, what says the church, the body of Christ, is what?
I think this means the local church.
Could be, yeah. But is the church alone the body of Christ? What does that refer to?
Fellow believers.
That's the body of Christ. The church, which is his body, says the book of Ephesians. The church, which is his body. And what does Dr. Strauss teach up there in Connecticut? Barbara?
Dr. Strauss teaches that just his church alone, it's not like it includes all the Christian churches together.
His church and churches like it that agree with him, that's the body of Christ. What about all the rest of us? What's he called?
The family
of God. That's all. We're not. See, he's one step above the rest of us. See, that's a false interpretation. That most say the body of Christ is every genuine born again Christian, whatever church he's in, he or she is a member of the body of Christ. He or she is saved, born again Christian. And Bill?
Sounds like he's an elitist.
Yes, that's sort of elite. Exactly. Where was Dr. Strauss taught this? I call heresy. Where was he taught this? Anybody know? Pastor Dan?
Maranatha
Baptist Bible College. I spoke there 2 or 3 times years ago in Wisconsin, that's right. And they taught that. And the man that taught it, anybody know the man?
Cedar
Holm. Well, Cedar Holm was the president, but there was a teacher there. I can't think of his name. He was the teacher that somebody asked who taught you this, and he named the name. I can't think of
it. Well, you might remember it. Maybe not going to be
Anyhow, he's one of those teachers. And I know he's a little short man. Yeah. Anyhow. But that's where he got
the
this.
It was a small name.
And so, the one I go to every 2 years up in Wisconsin was trained at Maranatha, and that's what he believes as well. I don't know why he hasn't come. Maybe when I become next October,
I don't
maybe
think he's
well, because next October, we'll see. Is it Wisconsin? No, Illinois. Is it
Michigan?
Okay.
He was in
Alania.
In
Valenia? Valenia, yes, right. It's Michigan, yeah. Pastor Dan, your former friend, is up there too. Remember?
Yes.
He doesn't answer your emails anymore. Okay. Hey, go ahead.
If your family, if he's the head and everybody else is the family, we're still family. I mean, I'm not understanding his concept because... Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you think of the 12 tribes of Israel, they were all the same. Because in Abraham, when he gave honors to Melchizedek, it was as if the Levites had done it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So he's kind of seen as perfect.
Yes, Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
Richard Weeks.
Thank you. Richard Weeks. You've got it right down.
He took the car bypass with his bed down.
Yes.
He's with the Lord.
Yeah, you told me that the other day, and I forgot. Richard Weeks. Talk to the pastor.
He has a little tiny man.
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
He's a little more tricky.
Really? Your pastor, your former pastor, yes. My. That's cool. Well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. Let's wave to Rob and thank him very much from Chicago. Where in Chicago? Telling us the name of the man. Richard Weeks. I knew someone told me, it was Rob himself, told me this last week. It was Richard Weeks that taught his former pastor. All right. Thank you. So then we're at verse
20. Hollywood believe that, too.
Oh, yeah. The Hollywoods. Yeah. Dr. Hollywood and Dave mm-hmm. Hollywood. As well, they believe the same thing, and they no longer they're part of our Dean Bergen Society. Both of them,
Dr. Hollywood
has died, but I mean David Hollywood and his sons, Steve Hollywood, they're both part of our ministry, Dean Bergen Society, because Dean Bergen Society does not hold all the doctors we hold in our church. They have select doctors we hold to. That's not one of them. In fact, I won't go into it, but when we first formed the society 39 years ago, almost 40 years ago now. We wanted Dr. E.L. Bynum to be part of it. Sort of, what's the name of his paper?
Plains Baptist
Theology. Plains Baptist Theology. And we wrote a doctoral statement, and under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we said his filling and his baptism of the Spirit, and all the others that are mentioned. And he wrote back and said, we don't believe in spirit baptism. That's a water baptism. See, that's part of this whole teaching, see. And that's what Dr. Strauss plays also in 1 Corinthians 12:13. It's very clear. For by one spirit are we all baptized, and that is one body. See, he said that's that water baptism, which is not that at all. See, that's another one. All right. There's Jacob. Right here, Jacob.
Yes, sir. I just noticed that the last time I was reading through Ephesians, and over here in Ephesians 3, I won't read the whole chapter about this, some parts.
Okay.
In verse 2 it here, the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, to you, word. But over here in 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. And the subject hasn't changed from the time you get here to verse 15. Well, I'll be 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to strengthen with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love, able to comprehend with all saints, with the breadth and length and depth of height. Anyway, I just that family of God thing. I don't know where this is family of heaven, the whole family of heaven here.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Strauss has got this wrong if he's using this for that. I don't know if he is actually doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's faulty. I mean, you're the only ones that are saying that it's just a little. Yeah, right. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Jacob. Let's wait for Jacob. Thank you very much. Let me just quote this and we'll stop. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit are all baptized. He doesn't capitalize spirit. And the King James Bible clearly capitalized the Holy Spirit. He makes it small, and this spirit means enthusiasm. By one, all enthusiasm, you're baptized. Water baptism, not water baptism. And they all be made to drink in one spirit. Whether it be 1 Corinthians 12:13, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, all men. See, that's what this verse is, one spirit or well baptized. See, they have a small S on spirit, one spirit. In other words, by one enthusiasm, we're all water baptized by immersion. See, it's just Baptist churches. That's all his type of baptism. But it's just certainly not applied to that. It's spirit baptism, the Holy Spirit of God is baptized. You'll be baptized by John the Baptist with water. He shall be baptized in the future by the Spirit of God. And the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God, baptized them and dwelled them in like fire and brimstone. Yes, go ahead, Bill.
Last week I was watching Pat Robertson on television, and I don't normally do that, but he was commenting on different parts of the Protestant religion, and he said that Bible Baptists believed in spiritual baptismal regeneration.
Really?
Yes. I couldn't believe he said that.
I don't know whether that's true or not.
No, it's not true.
No.
Not all Bible Baptists believe in baptismal regeneration.
No. Good. Any other comments before we go? Yes, Tim.
Well, maybe that's the end of this doctrine. That people are believing, because if they don't believe in spiritual baptism.
Yes.
I mean, baptism rather by the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, I mean, the fact that we're baptized by the Spirit, we're sealed by Him, all the ministries of the Holy Spirit, they've eradicated and they've put their confidence in the baptism.
Yes, that's right. Water baptism.
So it could be where it's ending up.
Yes, I should say.
So in this instance, there's some apostles might be in the talking about baptism and baptismal regeneration and so forth. Mm-hmm. In a model of these writers or landmarkers or whatever type of things this disciple is, we have this water baptism, so some of this could be part of the body of Christ, but not be a believer at all.
That's right. Just the local church.
Because the local church they baptize a lost person.
Yes.
And they put that lost person in the body of Christ, but yet
that's horrible.
Unsaved people in the family of God.
That's right. Well, one more thing, then we close. I was told and reminded by Dr. DeVitro that this Sunday today is Reformation Sunday. Of course, we Baptists, we don't go back to the Reformation. We have different views, but anyhow, was it 100 years? 500 years.
I missed the memo across the street.
Well, that was across the street.
They missed it.
You missed it.
They missed the memo.
They missed it.
Last year, they had some type of observance of it.
Oh, is that right? Well,
they put it on the door.
Yeah, they put it on the door.
That's what you call across the street.
But this year, unless they're going to wait until next week, I don't know.
Now, Dallas Theological Seminary's last letter to all the different alumni, they had a whole list of series of date after date after date, everything that happened before the Reformation. Very interesting.
Did you keep it?
Well, I didn't give it to you. You read it, and that's what it's
called. What would I do with it?
Anyway, any other comments or questions on Second John or anything else we talked about today before we close?
Well, they've gone a long way of walking away from the truth, the gospel about faith.
That's right. Yeah. The Reformation truth, they just walked all the way. You're right.
In fact,
what caused Martin Luther to change his beliefs? Not that he left the church, he's still in the Roman Catholic Church, but what caused it?
He read the Bible.
What else? That's right.
By faith alone.
And what was he doing? Yeah.
What was he doing?
By faith alone. Yeah.
It was like it was the priest demanding payment for strange souls out of heaven. I mean, out of hell, rather.
Well, as I understand,
construction of some big cathedral. They want to raise money, and so they have sell indulgences, and they try to convince people that you buy these indulgences, and you can get your loved ones out of
purgatory.
Non-purgatory.
Was it Om Munster?
Some Tufsel or
Mason?
As I recall. In order to be a real nice Roman Catholic, especially those that are high ups, you walked on your knees, and he was walking on your knees up the steps of a certain cathedral, and all of a sudden it came to him, we can't get saved by works, but just solely by faith.
They
that's
right. Saved.
And so, was it?
They get sick or get saved.
By faith we get saved, not by works. That's right.
Well, yeah, because he was reading Romans.
Yes,
you know, obviously. Let us close. For the word of prayer, finally close. Thank you, Lord, for the words of John the Apostle. Thank you that he gave a true example, a true testimony. His gospel in 1 John and 2 John, 3 John, Revelation. He was used of thee. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and he was kept there until he died. We thank you for the gift that is given and the leading that is given by the Holy Spirit to write these books. Help us to be separate from sinners and false teachers and not walk with them. Help us to walk in truth in the Scriptures, the Word of God. Bring us back safely on the Thursday night for Bible study, and can you help us to walk obediently to the things of our Savior, Jesus, and we ask you to pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.